I'm going to be very careful with today's message and stay very close to what I have written here. This message today for some... Yes, sir. Let me say it this way. I'll start like this. I'll be nice like Alan is nice. Thank God for Canadians. Amen. We're praying for his love for cats. But other than that, he's by the way, I just saw in the news that the oldest cat had its birthday this last week. The oldest cat on earth. It's 30 years old. Now, we had one that lived to be 18. I thought that was old. But 30 years old. Maybe dogs live that old. I don't know much about dogs. Anyway. Now, I'm going to summarize just... Yes, Katia. Okay, I'm going to do it like this. You don't remember World War II. Most of you are too young. World War II, there was a real famous banner that was made up. And it showed Uncle Sam, red, white, and blue. And the banner was, he's pointing right like this. And he says, Uncle Sam wants you. Well, I'm telling you right now, Jesus Christ wants you. He wants you in heaven, but he also wants to recruit an army. Now, this one is Joel's army, the one that's been prophesied from Joel for all these centuries. We are coming into that day where it's not going to be Mr. this one, Mr. Big Name over here, Mr. Big Name over here. It is the no names that nobody knows that rises up into Joel's army that is going to carry the battle onto the final victory in this last hour. And he is preparing, he's recruiting into the army. That's not like it was in the book of Acts. Now, I hate to say it that way. Book of Acts is the fledgling church. See how quiet it gets? Because we're going, well, we're not even attained to the book of Acts. We're going to. And we're going to go beyond there. If you want to see the mature church, read the book of Ephesians. Amen? Now, Alan this morning was talking about the Corinthian church. Now, you need to listen to Alan's message. I'm going to give you a snippet, but it's a good introduction to what's coming now. Alan was saying, now think about this. The church at Corinth, who apostled them? Paul was their apostle, and he pastored there. He taught them for like 2 or 3 years. He was their primary teacher. Later, they had Apollos and other ones. But think of it, sitting under the teaching ministry of the Apostle Paul himself for several years. And yet Paul has to write a letter back to them. Now, before I even say that. Well, what about this church? Well, you probably think it was a good church. Because you can find out in 1 Corinthians 12, they had healings manifested in that church. They had miracles manifested in that church. They had prophecy, accurate prophecy manifested in that church. They had tongues with interpretation manifested in that church. I mean, you're going, we can't even find a church hardly locally anywhere where all that goes on all the time. And yet Paul, who was their pastor, they said under his teaching, he has to write to them while all that's going on and saying, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 is Alan this morning. You're a bunch of babies. I can't even give you any meat. I can't share it with you. You're not even yet able. They were full of strife, envies, jealousy, divisions. So this morning, Alan was drawing a real good contrast between the gifts of the Spirit. Thank God for the gifts. We never belittle the gifts. We're told to covet earnestly the best gifts. I like what Oral Roberts said that time. They said, which one of the gifts is the best one? He said, it's the one you need at the time. Thank God for the gifts. But Paul, even in that letter to them, which is not meat, but he said to them, covet earnestly the best gifts, yet show I unto you a more excellent way. And that leads right into chapter 13, which is what we call the love chapter. And what is the first fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5? What is it? Love. See, that's not the last fruit, it's the first fruit. Wednesday night he had me teach on that a little bit. That seed of that love is in you if you're born again. You hear me? It's in you. So anyway, Alan's message this morning, and it goes right along with this end time revival. God is not calling us to a gifts revival. That's really Book of Acts. That's 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. That's the early fledgling church where they're... That same church, now think about it, that same church where healings and miracles and prophecy and tongues and interpretation and all of the gifts of the Spirit are being manifested. And there's fornication going on in that church that is even worse than the heathen will allow. And leadership's going, I think we're okay with it. Talk about radical grace already in the first century. Oh, yeah, we don't know whether we should do anything about that or not. Well, Paul straightened that out. And so the message, I don't know what title they'll put on it, but what I got out of it, there is a big difference between the gifts of the Spirit and maturity in the Spirit. Now, what God is calling us to and has been from the beginning is not another gifts revival where we have a bunch of spiritual babies that's loaded with handles of flesh that the devil can come and just grab a hold of any of them he wants at any time and turn you any direction he wants you to go. God is calling us to a revival of maturity where we've been purged of those handles. They even asked where we have allowed our new nature to purge, mortify the deeds of the body. The deeds, not the knowledge of it, but the deeds themselves. To grow up to that place where we walk like Him, talk like Him, have the same results that He had. And when the enemy comes sniffing around for handles, we'll have the same answer that Jesus had. He has nothing in me. Say, well, that's not possible. It is possible, or you're never going to be conformed to the image of Christ. Now, stop saying it's not possible, because it is possible. In fact, that is the very plan of God, to bring many sons unto that same glory. Amen. Sons meaning all of us. There's no male or female. Did I do okay, Alan? Yeah, okay. So, with that in mind, now the reason I say this is so severe, Jesus wants you. You hear me? He's wanting you in this army. He's wanting you to mature. And when I'm pointing at the camera, it's all of us. Okay. And he's wanting you to mature to that place of where it's no longer just by the gifts, but you have been conformed to the image of Christ. Another place that we grow up to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that you find your place in the body. And you are functioning there. You're trained by the Holy Ghost to function and do your part. Like my kidney does its part, my spleen does its part, and they don't do the same thing. But thank God, they're both doing what God called them to do. Amen? Amen? Is that a pretty good introduction? Now, on that path of maturity is holiness. Righteousness is free. Righteousness is God's free gift to man through Jesus Christ. But holiness is your gift back to God. That is your response to the righteous gift that He has given you. Amen? Your Bible still says, without holiness, no man will see the Lord. All right? Hallelujah. Put me on those D key. Now, I didn't look this verse up. One time Jesus said, every real scribe, He'll bring out treasures from the old and from the new. Today's message, I've got a prophecy from Dave from 1995. Then I've got a teaching he gave me in 2015. And then I've got one that he's been giving me for the last month. And they're all just for you today. That prophecy is as valid today as it was then. So are you ready? Okay, I had you turn to 2 Peter. Now, I'm only going to read a portion of this, and then we're going to go to this prophecy before I teach on it. 2 Peter chapter 2, we're going to actually skip down here a ways, but you need to see the context, what chapter 2 is about. So let's start in verse 1 of chapter 2. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. Are we in agreement? There are many false teachers in the body of Christ. Okay, many of them have great ministries. Many of them are on TV. Okay. But they privily shall bring in damnable heresies. Even denying the Lord that bought them. Now, they're not denying the Lord in saying Jesus is not Lord. Nobody would listen to them if they said that. They're denying his teachings. They're saying you don't even have to listen. Some of them, I've shared it with you before, from their own writings. They say, you don't even have to pay attention to the red words prior to the resurrection. Yet that same, those same red words says, if you're a hearer of my words and not a doer, you're building your house on the sand, and in that day your house will fall. It's not those that hear the word, it's those that do the word. And he was talking about the red words. Now, I believe in doing the red words and the black words. Okay? But if I, anyway. Even denying the Lord that brought them. Now notice, and bring upon themselves what? Swift destruction. Pray for those men and women. There's men and women teaching it now. And it's still spreading like wildfire. You know why the churches grow so fast under that doctrine? The flesh finally has its access to God without change. Yeah, I'm okay just the way I am. He loves me the way I am. He does love you the way you are. But he loves you too much to leave you the way you are. He'll never accept your flesh in there. Your spirit can go in there. Anyway. So, can you understand? You see the subject. False teachers. Now, come on down to verse 18. I wish we had time, but there's no time to do all of this. Come on. He's still talking about the same thing about the false teachers in verse 18. He says, for when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were, notice, were clean escaped from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. For after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, now notice, they are again entangled therein. Entangled again in what? The pollutions of the world. And overcome? The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Now, people in Connecticut don't know what a sow is, but love you, Nigel and Evangeline. Teasing you. A sow is a pig. You got that? It's a pig. We're talking about a dog and a pig. Now, that's enough for right now. Scripture. Did you hear that? Let me read the prophecy to you from 1995. Pastor Dave. He says, your adversary knows the power of the new creation reality and the voice of the conscience that rages within the heart of a born-again man. He knows that he cannot overpower it in a moment's time. So a little bit at a time, a little bit at a time, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, does he plan your demise. Remember how Dave would talk about Diablo? Drip on the rock, drip on the rock. Oh, nothing's changing. Drip on the rock. Drip on the rock, relentless, steady, constant, and eventually, what looks like nothing has happened, eventually, there'll be a hole drilled right through that rock. So here a little and there a little, does he plan your demise? Hour after hour, day after day, week after week, does he systematically combat your morality. For your soul he desires to keep. Now he's talking about the devil. Your soul does he desire to keep. And the things that you at one time were disgusted with, you now tolerate. And in not many days hence, his plan is for you to defend. Not only tolerate it, but defend it. And then in stages that lead to immorality, it goes from defense to the partaking of the evil deed. So understand, your demise is being authored line upon line, precept upon precept. Priceless in the eyes of Almighty God is one who keeps their conscience pure and clean. Y'all ever hear anything sounds like Nathan 101? For in and through them who? Those that keep their conscience clean, can I manifest my power unto a backward and perverse generation like the world has never seen. For many, even among our ranks, have transgressed the law of our God and given the devil place. And presently he authors their demise while they offer their life on the altar of sacrifice, not sacrifice to put the deeds of the flesh to death, but to give them life, the deeds of the flesh. For they have long since stopped efficiently sowing to the Spirit to stop the rate that the unclean spirit is overtaking them in that private place. Again, Alan finished up this morning reading out of Galatians 6. Don't become weary in well-doing. If you keep sowing to the Spirit, what does that mean in a practical way? Praying in tongues, fasting, meditation of the Word, worship, co-laboring with the Holy Spirit, all of the things that are taught here. If you do not become weary, you will reap eternal life from those things. It goes right along with the early message. Last paragraph of the prophecy. Therefore, rise up in holiness. Rise up in the power of my Spirit. Rise up to the place that I desire for you to be and purge out leaven. Purge out that leaven, and my glory you will surely see. I cannot add myself unto those who have been defiled. I can only add myself to those who remain clean, pure, and upright before me. Little is understood about agape, the love that reigns supreme. For perversion has entered the body of Christ, and they no longer understand the difference between a selfish love of humanity, which is self-seeking and many times hidden behind a devil's plan. Agape looks beyond the veil of the flesh and makes decisions based upon eternity and the lives of the one that you're dealing with. For if a person cleaves unto a lifestyle of sin, did you get that lifestyle? That means habitual. If a person cleaves unto a lifestyle of sin, it would have been better that they had never known the way of righteousness than to have turned their back on it. For they are as a dog returning to his own vomit, or a pig in her wallowing in the mire after she has been made clean. 1995. How many think it's still valid today? Boy, I do. I believe that's straight from the throne of God. It's exactly what God is calling us to. We are closer than you think to this revival. You're closer than you think. God is calling you. Jesus wants you in this army. Now, I'm just going to go ahead and say this. For some that hear this message, there's some that hear this message today, It's a matter of repenting from your backsliding. But for some who hear this message today, he's trying to save you all the way from hell. I'm talking to Christians. Don't think you can live that lifestyle forever and still make it. That is not what the Bible teaches. We could go chapter after chapter where it says, if you habitually live this way, this way, this way, this way, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. Nobody likes to hear those messages. You better like to hear it. Eternity is a long time. There's no way out of hell once you're there. But you're free right now. You can change. You can repent. And he wants you in this army. He not only wants you out of hell, he wants you in this last day army. Amen? All right. This lesson I'm reading right now is called The Dog and the Sow. The first thing I have is that I'm going to read the last two verses that I read before from 2 Peter chapter 2. So verses 21 and 22. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is returned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. I'm going to stick real close with this, because some people grew up in the same doctrines that I grew up in, and you're going to have some deliverance. I don't mean cast out a devil. I mean repent of false doctrine. So I'm going to stay with this. I grew up as a young man listening to the doctrine of eternal security in a very large denomination that teaches still to this day, once saved, always saved. Regarding this passage, their doctrine says, once a person is born again and becomes a child of God, there is no possible way for them to lose their salvation, to no longer be a child of God. Because their minds were closed on the subject, I remember many of the mental gyrations that they would use in order to make a scripture such as the one we just read agree with their doctrine. So this is how they would take this passage in second. I mean, he plainly says you'd be better off not to have ever known it than to have known it and then turn away from it. Okay? He's really talking about twice dead here. Now, they won't accept that. So here's how they use this passage. For example, they would say, now see, in this example, these people that return to the vomit and to the mire, they would say, I heard this many times growing up, well, their nature did not change. It does not say they went from being a lamb to being a dog or a pig. No. They always had that lower nature. That's what they're saying. They say these people were never truly born again. They say they had simply attempted to mentally function. They say these people were never truly born again. They say they had simply attempted to mentally function as Christians without ever truly being regenerated in their spirits. But see, that's simply not what the passage teaches. I thank God for Pastor Dave teaching us how to assimilate the Word and meditate in whole images. Now watch this. See, if you don't know the Word, if you don't have it in you, like most people that grow up in that denomination, and yours truly included back then when I only opened my Bible pretty much on Sundays, you'll follow it. You'll swallow it. You'll believe it. It sounds so right. But listen, if you stay with the scripture, here's what it says. Number one, it doesn't say they were never born again. It says they had escaped the pollutions of the world. You see that? The people he's talking about here had escaped the pollutions of the world. It says it right there. Number two, well, how did they escape? He tells you in that same passage, through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. These are born again people who got saved through the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. They allowed that new nature to control them for a season, and they escaped the pollutions of the world. It's not talking about people that weren't saved. Okay. Number three, it plainly says these people he's talking about knew the way of righteousness at one point, and they were walking in it. But number four, fourth point, they turned from the way of righteousness. You can't turn from something unless you were on something. They were walking righteous. They were letting the new nature lead them, that which makes them the child of God. Those that are led by the Spirit, they are the child of God. But not capital S, little s. It's talking about that new nature. And they walked it for a season. But then eventually, they left it. That prophecy tells so perfectly how. It doesn't happen overnight, usually. Little by little. Line upon line. Okay. So I'm just blowing away that false doctrine that says they were never Christians in the first place. Yeah, they were too. Yes, they were. So this is how everybody gets born again, through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. They become new creatures who are able to walk a righteous and a holy life that no unregenerate person could ever walk. Human willpower and determination cannot overcome the flesh. I used to have a poster on my wall. Flesh cannot cast out flesh. See, that is the lesson of the man in Romans chapter 7, who had received the law. He loved God and wanted to keep the law, but he could find no strength within himself to do so. And that is the dilemma of every unregenerate person. Human willpower and human strength is not enough to mortify the flesh. Alan again was teaching on that very thing, the difference. Two people get saved. One of them is a very disciplined person, maybe respected in the community, runs a business, got great children, hair parted correctly, loves cats and not dogs. Anyway, I don't think Alan said that part, but anyway. And you got the other guy who's dysfunctional and homeless and can't keep a job and uneducated. I mean, you know, you look at the difference between those two. But when they get born again, they both start off the same baby child in Christ. They both receive a new nature, and they both grow up the same if allowed to by the Holy Ghost. Amen? Okay. Listen to Alan's message. It was really good. They always are. Read that sentence again. See, that is the dilemma of every unregenerate man. Human willpower and human strength is not enough to mortify the flesh. There is only one force powerful enough to do that. And that is that new nature. It is the Spirit of Christ spawned within born-again people. It is through the Spirit, the new nature, the new man, that we mortify the flesh. Now, you don't have to turn there. Let me just read it to you again. Romans 8:13 says, to the Christian. Romans 8 is not written to the sinner. Romans 8 is written to the Christian. For if you live after the flesh, Christian... Let me add habitually. If you habitually live after the flesh, you shall die. What? There's this another witness to 2 Peter. But if you through the Spirit, and that means the little s, that new creature on the inside of you, if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, not your good intentions, to actually mortify the deed. If you do that habitually, you shall live. Now, these people were born again. They had escaped the pollutions of the world, and they'd walked in the way of righteousness for a season. The new nature within them mortified the flesh. And I'm sure it was progressive. I don't know anybody that goes 100%, you know, 0 to 100 overnight. Again, this morning's lesson. Fruit grows. My dad he loved fruit trees of all kinds. He had apple trees, pear trees, peach trees. And I remember he'd plant those little trees in the first season. There'd be little bitty peaches out there, you know. I made the mistake of biting into one of them one time. Bitter like gall. I mean, you know. You'll ever have a good Oklahoma porter peach when it's just perfectly ripe, the kind when you can't bite it without the juice just running down both sides of your mouth. You need a napkin and a peach, I mean, to eat one of the things, you know. And, oh, sweet and delicious. You don't need nothing else with it. Oh. And the difference between that and that little bitter peach. I remember as a kid eating that little peach on that first year on that peach tree. Most bitter thing. What's wrong with this peach tree? There's not a thing wrong with that peach tree. It's a perfectly good peach tree. Would you please allow it some time to mature? Eventually it'll put out that good, sweet, juicy fruit. I don't mean the gum. Juicy fruit. Anyway. So these people were born again. They had escaped the pollutions of the world and walked in the way of righteousness for a season. The new nature within them mortified the flesh. Now it's progressive. The fruit is growing. They walked the crucified life where the lusts of the flesh were kept at bay. But see, they listened in the context of 2 Peter. They listened to the false teachers who were teaching that the grace of God covers a lascivious lifestyle. And they began making provision for the flesh. Little by little. Little by little. Until eventually, they were walking after the flesh instead of the new nature. God is long-suffering. But if people persist in their rebellion long enough, He will give them up to what they love the most. Now see, you don't have to turn there, but Romans 1:24. If you go through Romans 1, you'll see that God dealt with these people and dealt with these people. They were holding the truth in unrighteousness. They wanted other things. They didn't care what God said. They did not want to retain the knowledge of God. But they wanted to be okay with God. And God dealt with them and dealt with them. But in Romans 1:24, it finally says, this is one of the scariest verses in all the Bible. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. The warning to the Christian is clear and consistent throughout the New Testament. If you live after the flesh, and that means habitually, if you habitually live after the flesh, you will die. Now, the analogy of the dog and the sow in Peter's epistle is referring to the flesh, not the spirit. Remember, the denomination I grew up in says, well, it doesn't say they went from a lamb to a pig or a lamb to a dog. They were never born again in the first place. It's that dog and that sow is not referring to your spirit. That dog and that sow is referring to your flesh. The analogy of the dog and the sow in Peter's epistle is referring to the flesh, not the spirit. The nature of, get this straight, Christian, the nature of the flesh does not change at the new birth. It was a pig and a dog before you got saved, and it is a pig and a dog now. Now, I thank God we're going to one day get a new body. I can't imagine a body that doesn't crave Krispy Kreme donuts. I can't even imagine that. Or at least not 12, you know. I always say the first dozen are pretty good, you know. I start feeling a little queasy on that second dozen. Doesn't mean I quit. Oh, anyway. Angie's order, she knows I haven't had a Krispy Kreme. I may have had one in the last year. I don't even remember that. But it teaches good, doesn't it? It's a good example. See, the nature of the flesh does not change at the new birth. The lust of the flesh is the enemy of the reborn human spirit throughout the believer's lifetime. Again and again, Jesus and the apostles teach us the necessity of keeping the flesh crucified. Even Paul, I didn't bring that scripture with me, but when he was teaching, he says, I myself, after I have taught all my lifetime to all these others, I have to keep my own body under, lest I myself also be a castaway. And the Greek word for castaway there is exactly the same Greek word that's used in Romans chapter 1 when it says he gave them over to a reprobate mind. Same word. I'll be a reprobate, cast off, not enter heaven myself. Only the born-again human spirit, which is literally Christ within, is powerful enough to keep that flesh at bay. Again, the man in Romans chapter 7 proved that human willpower and energy is not enough to mortify the flesh. You can pretend for a while, you can do it for a while, but eventually that flesh will win. It is through the Spirit, little s, that born-again new creature on the inside of you, that is how you're able to mortify the deeds of the body. Got that? Now, the people that Peter writes about in his epistle, they eventually exhausted the long-suffering of God. Remember in Romans 1, he eventually did what? He gave them up. I taught a message recently called Space to Repent. Even Jezebel, remember, at the church at Thyatira, who was teaching people in the church to commit fornication. Can you imagine? And even with her, Jesus gave her space to repent. But don't forget this, dear heart. Space does not mean forever. There's a space to repent. Well, when does it come to an end? Aren't you glad he's the judge? I think the answer to that is hidden on purpose. Again, Samson thought he could just keep sleeping with Delilah forever. It wouldn't affect his anointing. Yeah. He kept thinking that. One day he left there blind and powerless, which pretty well describes the church at large today. Keep sleeping with Delilah, the world. Remember that Jesus taught in Mark chapter 4, remember, that the life began in all four types of ground? Remember that? But in three of the four kinds of ground, the life was eventually extinguished. Only in that last one did it grow. And even then it was 30, some 30, some 60, some 100 fold. But the three before that, it began to grow, but the life was extinguished. Gary, I got all dressed. It took me 2 hours to get ready to come to this service. And this is what you're going to teach? Yeah? Because we're coming into revival. And I mean, we're closer than you think. We're closer than you think. The time is past for baby talk. Time is past for milkshakes. We're throwing raw T-bone right out there for you to steak tartare. Okay, all right. Jude speaks of these same false teachers that Peter is referring to. And he says, Jude says they're twice dead, plucked up by the roots. How can you be twice dead? Everybody is born spiritually dead. But at one point, these people came alive. And for a while, they probably walked righteously. But little by little, that prophecy of Dave's. Little by little, little by little, day by day, hour by hour, drip, drip, drip. And you begin compromising a little, and then a little more, and then a little more. That twice dead plucked up by the roots. Now, if something's plucked up by the roots, that's dead, dead. That is a perfect description. They had the life of God within them at one time. But just like Jesus taught, that life within them eventually perished, plucked up by the roots. Without the new nature within, and let me say that new, I want to go more than nature. I like how Alan says that. It's more than a nature. You have a new creature with a new nature. I like the analogy he uses that today of the kitten. I mean, no, he said puppy. Said a puppy is born with the nature of a puppy. It doesn't grow in that nature of a dog. It's born with the nature of a dog. See, that's what happens with us when you get born again. You don't grow in the nature. Now, you'll grow in knowledge and maturity and wisdom and how you function and all that. But your nature comes into you full grown. That's why you can trust the conscience from day one when you get born again. Anyway, get Nathan 101 for all of that. Without that new nature, the Spirit of Christ within, there is no longer sufficient strength within man to restrain, mortify, and crucify the flesh. The flesh is the dog. Have you got that part? The flesh is the sow. Without the new nature, the flesh is free to return to what it truly loves. Paul gives a partial list of the things the flesh loves in his letter to the Galatians. So go ahead and turn there, Galatians 5, just for a moment. And he sets it up perfectly. He says, look, there's a war going on inside of every Christian. You've got a nature, a new creature on the inside of you who loves righteousness, loves holiness, loves all the things of God. And it only wants those things. It doesn't really want anything else. But you've got a flesh that doesn't care anything about that. It wants to get high. It wants to have pleasure. It wants respect. It wants to be treated more than respect. It wants to be number one and you somewhere down below. It doesn't like it when anybody preaches but you. It doesn't like it when anybody has a better car than you. It's totally a dog. And that's its nature, and it doesn't change. It has to be crucified daily. Galatians 5, he's just given a thing. Verse 19, I'll never forget the day he says, the flesh thinks all these things are wonderful. This is why the flesh wars against your spirit. It wants to do these things. And I looked at it and I went, the very first one is adultery. What if I said it this way? Your flesh thinks you're crazy not to commit adultery. Your flesh would go, I love adultery. Adultery is great. We should go do that. It feels good. Makes you feel like something special. You got, you know. How about fornication? That's the next one. Fornication in plain English is sex with anyone that you're not married to. Okay? Your flesh thinks that's a great idea. Let's go do that. We should do that. Makes you feel good. All the, you know. And the more the better. Conquer. I notice how still everybody is when I go through this list. Uncleanness. Can I just say pornography? And that type of stuff? Uncleanness? Flesh thinks that's a great idea. We should do that. Lasciviousness, right along the same line. Idolatry. Let's get to witchcraft, because that's a little blind in our, you know, witchcraft. I don't think that's the best translation. The Greek word there is pharmakia. Pharmakia. M-A-K something. Anyway, pharmakia. It's where we get our word pharmacy. It's not hard to understand. That's talking about drug abuse. Let's get high. Now, you're a born-again Christian. If you could really just, if we could separate your spirit here and your flesh right here, they are slapping each other on the face. And the flesh is going, vote in marijuana. We need legalized marijuana in our state. That's what we need. Yeah. Because I'm tired of getting busted. I'm tired of getting busted. I don't care how they legalize it. Just legalize it. Anyway, I'm not trying to be political. I'm not trying to be political. Or anything else. Just get high on cocaine. Cocaine. Dun, 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 cocaine. Anyway. Sorry. So, what's sad is so many knew what I was doing there. Hey, we're cut from the same cloth. Anyway. But your flesh is literally slapping your spirit going, let's go do this. This is great stuff. Adultery, fornication, pharmakia, pornography. Let's go do that. It's a dog. It's a sow. It thinks that's wonderful. And your spirit, the real you, is going, what? Are you crazy? We got delivered from the pollutions of the world. We do that stuff, we're going to go to hell. What's wrong with you? You know your flesh doesn't care because it's going back to the dust no matter what you do. Do you understand that? There is no incentive for your flesh to live holy. That flesh is going back to the dust. You're going to get a new body to take with you to heaven. Your flesh has got no incentive. It's going, I want to feel good now. I want what I want now. See? That's why if you're going to live righteous, there is a suffering in the flesh. I'm going too long on this. Anyway, I just wanted you to see all of those things. That war doesn't end when you get saved. It begins when you get saved. And you're going to have to fight that. Now, we'll tell you this. I'm going to get to it more in the next segment. You can retrain your flesh. I know I was so addicted to nicotine. I've been so addicted to alcohol. I know what it is. I mean, if your flesh to just, you think you're going to die when you start getting off of that stuff. But I'm here on the other side. I've been decades on the other side. Honey, thank God you can retrain that flesh. Even in the most stressful times, I'll come through stress and come out the other side. And it even surprises me. I go, I never thought of a cigarette once. Now, the first few years, that was real surprising to me. Now it's been so long, it doesn't surprise me anymore, but I'm sure grateful. So I'm here to tell you, I don't care what you're addicted to, your flesh. It won't always be that way, honey. When you start coming off of it, you do have to endure. There may be suffering. And he can deliver you without withdrawals. I don't want to say he can't. But even if he doesn't, there's freedom on the other side. There is freedom on the other side. I smoked for 42 years. And yet I've been free for many years now. Many, many years. And I'm telling you, even for a guy that smoked for 42 years, there is freedom on the other side. You'll never think of it. You never want one. First couple of years, I wanted to follow people around that was still smoking because it smelled good to me. Now it's, it's like, you know. So anyway, that was free. Now, the flesh loves, see, let's look at him again. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft. How about hatred, variance? This is some of the stuff that Alan was talking about. Emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. There's your divisions. Same things that it was listing this morning out of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I believe it was. Envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Now, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do, and if you look that Greek word up, there's, you know, the Greek is amazing. That word do does not mean one time. That word there is talking about habitual. If that becomes your lifestyle, those type of things, they which habitually do those things, you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. I don't care how many preachers say you will. I don't think they know more than Paul. And I don't think they know more than Peter. And I don't think they know more than Jesus. Jesus said, if you don't do what I say, your house will fall. You can build your whole life hearing my word, but if you don't ever do my word, on that day, your house will fall. Do with what you want with that. The flesh loves all of those evil, wicked things, and it will return to all of them if there is no spirit within to restrain it. Your flesh is the sow. Your flesh is the dog. The only thing keeping it from doing what it wants right now is the Spirit of Christ in you that you have allowed to come to maturity. Boy, that was well said right there. See, that is the vomit. That is the mire. The dog and the sow are descriptive of the flesh, no longer mortified by the Spirit, but free once more to return to its wicked ways. Did you get that? Now, this part I've been working on the last month or so. It's got some repetition in it. Repetition is good. You didn't learn your ABCs by saying them once, did you? So this one, I call this one, once purged, stay purged. Once purged, stay purged. Let me read that same passage, that last part again. 2 Peter 2, verse 21. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, then after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Now this time, he approaches it a little different through the teaching this time. Let's talk about vomit. How many of you came to hear about vomit today? Well, he's using that for a reason. See, by definition, I mean, you could have a lot of messes on the floor that didn't come from the inside of you. But see, vomit, what is that? When you use the word vomit, if it's there on the floor, where did it used to be? If it's your vomit. See, it's something that was inside of you. Vomit is something that was in you before. But then when you vomited it, it came out of you. It's as ugly. We're looking at a vomit on the floor here. It's as ugly and vile as it ever was. But thank God, it is not still in you. Isn't that a good picture of mortification? Things that used to be in you. I mean, I remember when the love of money, and I'm not saying I'm 100% purged because I can't. But I know, Sue knows, I am not the man she married that bowed down daily to the God of money. To a large measure, and I don't know what measure, I don't know what percentage, but boy, there's a lot of love of money vomit that used to be in me that is not in me anymore. Okay? I'm going to read that sentence again. That vomit is as ugly and vile as it ever was, but thank God it's not still in you. This is a very accurate illustration of what we call mortification. It is through the purging process. You know, when somebody vomits, we say, well, they purged themselves. It is through the purging process that we mortify the deeds of the body. In my own life, I have been purged of addiction to alcohol, nicotine, cursing, pornography, the love of money, and I put in parentheses, at least to a large degree, I have to, and unforgiveness. Been purged of that. As one example, I have been purged. Now I'm talking about me. He's always mean to me and nice to you. Okay, we're not talking about your stuff. We'll talk about my stuff. Okay, I don't care. As one example, I have been purged of alcohol and nicotine addiction for so long that my body never craves either one of them anymore. Even going through times of extreme stress, I have been pleasantly surprised that after the stress period was over, I could say, I never even thought of having a drink or smoking a cigarette. Never even occurred to me. Those two addictions have been vomited out of me. Trust me, they were in me at one time. Nicotine addiction, alcohol addiction, are you kidding? They sure used to be a part of me, but they were vomited out long ago through the purging process. But now the warning from 2 Peter is this. If I choose to, not only 2 Peter, but that prophecy that came through Dave. See, if I choose to, I could begin doing those same things again. Maybe starting off slowly. Well, I'm just going to have a social drink, you know. I'll just have one cigarette. The warning, not only from 2 Peter, but also from Dave's prophecy. If I choose to, I could begin doing those same things again. Maybe little by little. Here a little, there a little. Little social drink here. Let me bum a smoke from you. It wouldn't be long until my body would be just as addicted to alcohol and nicotine again as it was before. In fact, now it would be even worse because I would now also be battling the guilt of knowing I had been free and allowed myself to come in bondage again. The example of the sow, see, that's pretty good about the dog eating its vomit, right? Let's talk about the sow. Nothing in God's word is by accident. He very carefully chooses his words. The example of the sow, the pig, is a little different. See, the mire was not in the sow. The vomit was, right? before it became vomit. But see, the mire was not in the sow. You got that? The sow was in the mire. The mire is what the sow chose to live in. It made her dirty and stinky, but she loved the mire anyway. You have to know that your born-again nature does not love the mire. The part of you that loves the mire is your flesh. That's why Galatians chapter 5 says the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. Every time you go through a new level of purging through the process of mortification, your flesh is progressively delivered from the mire. Your flesh in that area is washed clean. From my own life, I remember the days before Sue and I were born again, we partied hard. We worked hard. We partied hard. We loved to go to the clubs. What was that one we'd get to? What was that? Strawberry Daiquiris. Oh. And a big ribeye steak. I forget the name of that. It's not here in Tulsa anymore. But anyway, oh man, that combination. Big old thick ribeye steak. And 2 or 3 or 12. Sue would be 2 or 3. Gary might be 12 strawberry daiquiris. And they go down easy. And we'd love to go to the clubs to drink and dance. Well, Sue could dance. Gary thought he could after the daiquiris. Any of you that's ever seen Elaine in Seinfeld? I'm worse than Elaine. Worse. It's not pretty. But I sure thought it was. And you give me enough of them daiquiris, gold. So, but anyway, that was, we loved the mire, man. We worked hard to go to the mire. We thought we deserved the mire. I got to tell you, one of the worst mires today is television. The reason that this young generation is accepting fornication and alternate lifestyle is because of the mire from television programming a whole generation. You got to be really, we can hardly watch anything anymore, you know. It'll be the most innocuous looking thing. And then pretty soon, well, there he is, the gay, there he is, the alternative lifestyle person or personette, you know, male or female. Click. Done with that one. You can't wallow in that stuff. Okay, amen. I'm diverting. But we used to love to go to the clubs to drink and dance and have a good time. We were certainly not there to be witnesses for Jesus. No, wasn't thinking about that. We were there to indulge the flesh. We were literally wallowing in the mire. But once we got saved, we were purged from the mire of the bars and the clubs. We didn't wallow there anymore. In fact, our witness for Jesus became so important to us that now we won't even eat at a casino restaurant. They had to put Chris Ruth's, however that goes, at steakhouse in a casino. I'll never get to eat there. Because I'm not going to go there and somebody see me and think that I've got my steal of approval on gambling. That's just not going to happen. I still remember that lady that came to our Bible study, and she didn't say it to me. I just overheard her say it to somebody else. She said, I think I'd just give up being a Christian at all if I ever saw Gary in a liquor store. Boy, that lodged in me. I finally understood what Paul was talking about over there. He says, when you don't eat meat for idols, not for your sake. You know it's nothing. But to that person that thinks it's something, you got to be thinking about him, that one that's weak in the faith. You're not going to find me, I don't care how good the food is, eating no food in no casino. You hear me? Now, if you do it, you talk to the Lord. But where I'm at now and people know my name and who I am, representative of Christ, I'm not eating there. Because I don't want anybody thinking that we think gambling's okay. It's not okay. Wrecks marriages, wrecks families. Now, maybe you, anyway, you talk to the Lord about it. Now, think about it, though. The flesh itself still loves the mire. If you start indulging the flesh just a little, perhaps by saying, oh, it won't hurt just to go to the nightclub and dance once in a while. Pretty soon it'll be, oh, a little wine wouldn't hurt me. Shortly after that, you'll wallow in the mire long enough, it's going to start feeling comfortable again. Starts feeling normal and natural to you. And you can fall back to just wallowing in the mire again. Just exactly like Peter said. See, at the beginning of his letter, 2 Peter in chapter 1, verse 9, he said this. He has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Yeah, you can start eating that vomit, wallow it in the mire if you decide to do it. Once purged, stay purged. Be turning to Philippians chapter 3. Once purged, stay purged. To begin indulging in sins that you were once purged from is no different than a dog eating its own vomit. You were purged. It isn't in you anymore. Don't start partaking of it again, because if you give the flesh an inch, it's going to take a mile. And you'll have to go through that purging process of mortification again. See, I tend to forget this, but I remember way back in the very beginning, the first 6 months, sometime in the first 6 months that Sue and I got saved, he not only delivered me from alcohol, he did deliver me from smoking. I tend to forget that. And I didn't really go through horrible withdrawals. See, I didn't used to believe in muscle memory. But I remember back what would happen. I'd smoked for all those years, and I quit. And it wasn't really hard for me, but I'd do this all the time. I'm trying to talk to you about, we're still in the real estate business, and I'd be slapping my chest all, you know, my pocket right here. Yeah, and then we're going to go over here and look at this house, and they go, what? And I'm reaching for my pack of cigarettes. Muscle memory. I didn't believe in muscle memory until I tried to teach my grandson how to play the guitar. And I hadn't really played the guitar in probably 20 years. And I couldn't tell him, he had the guitar, I couldn't tell him where to put his fingers to play a song. But I said, my mind couldn't do it. I said, hand me the guitar and I could just play it away. My fingers remembered where my mind didn't. That's another thing. I believe in it now. Anyway, he did deliver me from cigarettes. I'd almost forgot. So what I did so I wouldn't look stupid, always slapping my chest while I'm trying to sell people real estate, you know, reaching for my pack, I bought a little bitty New Testament that fit in that pocket. And so every time I'd reach for it, I'd read them a verse, you know. Or I'd say, oh, there's my Bible, or something like that. See, I remember that the Lord delivered me without a single withdrawal symptom. Hang on a minute. Yes. And all I did was carry a small New Testament in my shirt pocket. So I would pat it every time my hand would automatically reach for a cigarette. But Gary ate his own vomit. About 6 months after that, I got into a real stressful situation. And I remember it like it was yesterday. I didn't resist it very long. Maybe an hour. And I gave up. I drove to the store. I bought another pack of cigarettes, thinking, I'm just going to smoke a few just to get me through this pressure. And I smoked for the next 23 years. Did you have to? No. Thought I did. If I'd have known then what I know now, I would have quit a lot sooner than I did. But I'm telling you, if you give the flesh an inch, it'll take a mile. I've learned, I don't know about everybody, but for Gary, it's all or nothing. I took my last drink in 1980. When I finally got free of the cigarettes again, 23 years later, I've never had another one, and I'm not going to have another one. I'm not going to wallow in that mire again. I'm not going to eat that vomit again. Okay? Because the next time that I got delivered, he didn't do it without withdrawals. I'm telling you, thought I was going to die. I paid such a price that time, I never want to have to pay that price again. Well, now it's been over 15 years since I had a cigarette. That vomit is out of me too, like the alcohol. I haven't had an alcohol drink since 1980, however many years that is. And I'm telling you by the Spirit, not the Holy Ghost, no, the Spirit that's on the inside of me, I will never wallow in that mire again. I will not let my body have not one. And I have the power to do it because He strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I can confidently say I'll never touch another one. Now, by the way, it's exactly the same with unforgiveness. You get unforgiveness out of you the same way anything else comes out of you. He'll give you some help, and I taught on that last Wednesday, so I'm not going to go on that. Okay, go ahead and go to Philippians 3. I think I told you to, or asked you to turn there, please. Paul is talking about this. He's so many things that he's saying here in Philippians chapter 3. But now, the part we're going to look at, he's talking about walking where you have already attained. Don't backslide below where you've already attained. All of us are pressing towards the mark. Amen? Paul says, I don't count myself to have attained. I'm still pressing toward the mark. But let me tell you this. So we're going to pick it up in Philippians 3, verse 12. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, now here it is. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained. Gary, where have you attained? I have mortified smoking. I have mortified drinking. I have mortified cursing. I have mortified pornography. I have mortified, I don't know, love of money to a large degree. I don't know to, you know, I don't know how much more of that's in there. Now, what he's saying is, where you've attained, let us walk by the same rule. In other words, don't backslide. Let us mind the same thing. Then he goes a little farther. Brethren, well, we should all have this testimony. We should all be able to say this. Be followers together of me. And mark them which walk so you have us for an example. We need to be an example. Is it safe for me to follow you everywhere you go? See, on our phones, Sue and I have an app that has the location of where our phone is all the time. See, I have no fear that Sue knows where I am all the time because I'm not going anywhere I shouldn't be. You have an app on the inside of you, whether you like it or not. He know where you be. What if that app became on the outside where we all could see it? Would we count it as an example? Is it safe for us to go to all them places? Hopefully. Hopefully. Okay. But now watch this. Nevertheless, where we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. Boy, now get this. He's not talking about the world here. He's talking about church people. People that go to church. For many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. They're not enemies of Christ, but they're enemies of the cross. What goes on the cross? Your flesh. They're enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction. Please don't mark that part out. Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. They've wallowed in the mire. They've swallowed their own vomit. You better not walk like them, because their end is destruction. See, the church doesn't preach that much anymore. You don't want your end to be destruction. Paul, I'm going to remind you again. He said, I, even after I have preached to others, given my whole life, I myself have to keep my body under, lest I be cast away, reprobate, trash, not make it into the kingdom myself. And that's the Apostle Paul. For our conversation, our citizenship, the real us, our home is heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, and thank God for verse 21. Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is even able to subdue all things unto Himself. Boy, am I looking forward to that one. Hallelujah. So the title of this message is going to be The Dog in the Cell, because I want you to be able to find it. You'll remember that easier. But I want to put a parenthesis, a subtitle after this one. Once purged, stay purged. Amen? Now, we're going to do, I'm going to put your Bibles away and your notes for a moment. Somebody's life is going to be saved right now. Now listen, you're listening to me and you're living in fornication as a Christian, and you've been doing it a long time. You're not okay. His long suffering, if He gave Jezebel space to repent, if you're listening to this today, most likely He's given you space to repent, and that's why you're hearing this. If you're living in adultery, if you're on drugs, hooked on drugs, I don't care what it is, listen. He is calling His church out of all those things. Come out of the mire. Get this stuff purged out of you. That's why He gave you the Holy Ghost. Go back and dust off those tapes of Dave Roberson about praying in the Spirit and how that allows you to grow up on your, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. And how it'll cause you to rise up that new man on the inside. Your flesh will think it got run over by a steamroller if you give it half a chance. But listen, He's calling for repentance. Not only there, not only here in this place, but where you are. So let's all pray this. I'm going to do it really general, okay? You'll be safe. You're okay. Lord, search my heart. Lord, search my deeds. Lord, anything in me that You have purged, that I have allowed myself to be entangled with again. Lord, forgive me. I am so sorry. Lord, I'm going to start praying again in the Holy Ghost to build myself back up. But Lord, I know already I have to repent. I don't have to live this way. Your Spirit in me set me free. Flesh, I'm not obeying You anymore. You and I are at war. You are not the boss of me. I am the boss of You. And You will do what I say. Lord Jesus, I commit myself fresh to You. I belong to You. I live for You. You gave me Your righteousness. Now I'm going to give You holiness. I'm going to war against my flesh. I am one of those overcomers. The overcomers You talk about in Revelations. That gets to sit with You on the throne of God. Lord, I am Yours. This day I repent. I come out of the mire. And I'll not eat any more vomit. In Jesus' name. Amen, 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 amen. He will help you. He will help you. He will help you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Wow. Y'all didn't know He was coming for all that, did you? Hallelujah. He's trying. Jesus wants you. Jesus wants you. We're coming into the end time, Joel's army. I'm telling you, we're closer than you think. And it is time. How did Paul write it to Timothy? Endure hardness as a soldier. Now, in this context, you're in a war already with your flesh. Your flesh is not going to like it when you take dominion. Do it anyway. Endure hardness as a soldier. We're coming into the end time revival. God's recruiting. Let's join. Amen. Amen.